2 Corinthians in chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1. The word of the Lord says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are manifest in your consciences." Look at verse 10 again. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the word of the Lord. I want to preach this morning, if God will help me, on when it's all said and done. I made mention this morning at the end of the Sunday school lesson how that Brother John had voiced in those verses and had brought out in those verses, the last few verses of the lesson, how that the Lord would frustrate the wisdom of man, how that He would frustrate all of those who sought after other gods, how that He would show that He was God and all others were liars, and how that at the end everyone would see and would witness this thing that showed us that God was who He said He was, and there would be no unbelief. Believers in that day, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Even the devil himself will confess that Christ is Lord in that day. There will be no denying of these things when it's all said and done. That verse said in verse 10, how that in that last time that every man will receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done. How when it is all said and done, we are going to answer for what has been said and what has been done. Amen. And the one man said, when it's all said and done, usually there's been a lot more said than what's been done. And that's true too. But my friend, but we will answer for the things that are done in this body. In this passage of Scripture is one beautiful passage, and it's an important one doctrinally for us. In verse number 1, we see our earthly house. He said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And this earthly house he speaks of here is our flesh. That house that is made from the dust of the ground. And in verse 2 he said, "In this we groan." In our flesh, you see, we groan for something greater and something more eternal. This body is temporal. This body, my friend, is filled with a sin nature. This body and this flesh is at enmity with God. And we groan within ourselves for something more. Romans chapter 8 and verse 22 said, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body." You see, while we're here, my soul has been saved, my mind is being sanctified, but my body is condemned. This body will rot
resurrection day in the last time, will the body be revived and resurrected to be like unto Jesus our Lord. And on that day, immortality shall put on immortality. Corruption will have put on incorruption. That which has been sown in dishonor will be raised in honor. And my friend, that which has been sown in death will be raised again in life. And what kind of body will it be? It does not yet appear we shall be, but we do know when He shall appear, we shall be like unto Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Christ being the first fruits of the dead, we, my friend, being the more fruits of those that will follow after Him, will be raised in His likeness. Amen. And we yearn for that while we're yet living in this body of death. And my friend, this body, this flesh, hinders us in many ways, whether it is by sickness or by sin. The flesh is a hindrance unto the child of God. But thank God, one day we groan that we may not be found naked, but clothed upon by a house from heaven. Amen. Oh, I praise His name. This is the house for the for who I am yet today. But friend, one day my house will be like unto His, and I'll be clothed with the righteousness of God. I bless His high and holy name for that. Our earthly house, that is our flesh. In verse number 2, we see our earnest hope. That is our focus. Amen. Our earnest hope. In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our house which is from heaven. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24 said, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Christ in you, Colossians said, is your hope of glory. I'm glad I have more than an emotion this morning. I have a hope, sure and steadfast, anchored within the veil, whither my forerunner is gone. And because Jesus is there, I have hope. And if I had hope in this life only, Paul said, I'd be of all men most miserable. But I'm glad I have a hope that is sure and steadfast and anchored in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That's our earnest hope, our focus, our earthly house, which is our flesh. Then verses 6 through 8 teach us of our eventual home. I thank God. Verse 6 said, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." You see, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. While we're yet present in this body, we are absent with the Lord. Oh, but my friend, one day when we are absent from the body, we will be present with the Lord. That's our hope. That's our future, friend. Imagine being present with the Lord. Oh, we cannot fathom it. We cannot truly grasp the depth, my friend, of the riches of being present with the Lord. Some call it heaven. I call it home. Amen. When the saints of God leave this life, they immediately enter the presence of Jesus. And to be absent with the body, or from the body, is to be present with the Lord. Where is my loved one that's passed on? Well, if they're saved by God's grace, when they left this life and close their eyes here, they open to them in the presence of Jesus. Where are they now? They're where Jesus is. Where exactly is that, preacher? I don't know if that makes a whole lot of difference, so long as what Jesus is there. Amen. Where is my loved one that's already gone home there with the Lord? Somebody said, "I'll wait for them to get out of the grave." They ain't in the grave now. Amen. The old body, the earthly house of this tabernacle has been shed. And we've body been buried this earthly house. And we planted it in the ground. And there will be a great getting up morning when their soul and spirit and the revived, resurrected, glorified body will be reunited again. Jesus. How blessed His name for that sweet promise. I'm telling you, heaven is our home. If you've been saved by God's grace, we have a destination already scheduled. The ticket's already been paid for. The fare was paid at Calvary. And heaven will be our home. I'm glad I've got a space reserved over there. And my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, and He did, I will come again, and He will receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. Thank God. I'm glad we have a promise of an eternal home.
That's our future, friend. There will come a time. And listen, friend, whenever we leave this life, those who are saved, friend, those that are saved when they leave this life enter immediately into the presence of Jesus. And to those that are sinners when they leave this life, open their eyes immediately in hell. The rich man died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment in the flame. There will come a time, however, when every man will not only meet his reward, but he will also meet his maker. Amen. There'll come a time when you'll not only immediately, as soon as you leave this life, immediately you'll meet your reward. But when it's all said and done, we will all meet our maker. Notice our text verse in verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Immediately after the rapture, the Bible teaches us that every believer will be called into a time of reckoning and accountability. This event is known as the judgment seat of Christ. I will be judged for our words, whether they be good or bad, acceptable or unacceptable, to see whether they are silver and gold and precious stone, or counted as wood, hay, and stubble. And they'll be tried with fire, and only the things we've done for God will last, friend. I want to preach this morning on when it's all said and done. Let me say, first of all, when it's all said and done, there will be no exceptions. There will be no exceptions. And the verse said, for we must all appear. There will be no exception. We're all going to appear. 1 Peter 4 and 17 said, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? It seems as though some appear to escape the judgment of God in their lives. And we think that they are never confronted or rebuked for their sin, my friend. They live a life that's free of exposure. It seems like to us there's no accountability. You wonder when they're going to get their comeuppance. And my friend, but hey, some think because they're members of somebody's church that they don't have to answer to anybody. They live how they want to, do what they want to, say what they want to, dress how they want to, believe what they want to, go where they want to, and dare anybody to say anything about it. Or did my friend get angry at preaching that deals with their lives and their lifestyles? But be reminded, whether you're a new convert, a charter member, a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist, all will stand in judgment before the Lord. When it's all said and done, there will be no exception.
Right.
It doesn't matter how many great things you've done, there'll be no exceptions. It doesn't matter what positions you hold, there will be no exceptions. It doesn't matter what influence you have with others, there will be no exceptions. And by the way, when you stand there, you'll stand there all alone. I'll not answer for you, and you'll not answer for me. Amen. We'll give an account unto God. It'll be you and the Lord giving an account. And when you get there, your influence with people won't matter. Well, brother so-and-so thought highly of me. I had a position in the church. My credentials are hanging on the wall. None of that will matter. It'll be you and God and the record of who you really were in life, not who people thought you were. Amen. There will be no
exceptions. When it's all said and done, there will be no excuses. Are you hearing me? Not only must we all appear, but we all have been warned this morning. We must all appear before the judgment seat. The Bible is giving us a warning, friend. And the Word is filled with repeated warnings of judgment to come. There'll be no excuses. We've had time to prepare. And there's a judgment of the saved and of the unsaved. But the same judge will provide over it, preside over it all. And there'll be no excuses for anyone, whether at the judgment seat of Christ or at the great white throne judgment, friend. It's spoken of all through the Word. And we've received the warning that judgment is to come. And there's no excuse for you not to prepare while you're yet in this life.
There'll be no time to prepare when you get there. You'll have to prepare while you're yet here. Amen. This is your dressing room for eternity. And if you don't get prepared and dressed for eternity now, you'll not be prepared when it gets here. There'll be no time to prepare there. There'll be no excuse of why you're not ready for that judgment day. Oh, my friend, God, help us. The Word of God repeatedly warns us of the judgment that is to come. When Paul preached unto Felix in the chapter 24 of Acts in verse 25, the Bible said he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled. And my friend, you'd think the next thing that had happened would be that Felix, like the Philippian jailer, would say, "What must I do to be saved?" But instead, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." You see, not everybody that's been warned of the judgment is prepared for it. Not everybody that's heard the message is prepared to meet the Lord, is prepared to meet the Maker. How many, my friend, have shirked it away? They've put off and procrastinated their preparation for the judgment. But when we get there, I just said to tell God that you have not a sufficient time, not sufficient opportunity, not sufficient space to repent. Those excuses will not hold up. When it's all said and done, there will be no excuse for being unprepared.
Amen.
You've been warned, the judgment is coming. Rob Scholl says it right when he's preaching, judgment's coming and ain't nobody getting by with nothing. And that's exactly right, friend. Judgment is coming and nobody's getting by with anything. Romans 14:10 says, "Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Hebrews 9:27 said, "As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." Amen. 1 John 4:17, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world." We have been warned about judgment to come, and when that day comes, there will be no excuses. When it's all said and done, there'll be no exceptions. When it's all said and done, there will be no excuses. When it's all said and done, I want to say this morning, there'll be no excitement. Are you hearing me? Somebody said, "I can't wait till I get the judgment, and the Lord can let everybody know that I've been doing right, and I'll be vindicated." Buddy, you ought not be so excited about this thing called the judgment seat of Christ. We'll all have plenty to answer for. Amen. And verse 11 said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord." That word "terror" is defined as fear. With that which strikes terror or dread, reverence. There won't be any bubble gum. There won't be any laughing. There won't be any disrespect. There won't be any cutting up. There won't be anybody looking to get vindicated. When we get to the judgment seat, when it's all said and done, there will be no excitement. People disagree over some doctrine or some course of action. And I've heard them say many times, and it's true, but I've heard them say many times, "We'll find out who's right when we get to the judgment seat." Well, that might be true and might be right,
But when you stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, the last thing that will be on your mind when you stand before God will be some petty argument you had while you was here on earth. That will be the last concern you've got. Who was right about whether or not it's pre, post, or millennium? Who was right about pre, mid, or post-trib rapture? Who was right about my friend falling from grace? My friend, who was right about Calvinism, Arminianism? What is it that's right about that? Hey, that'll be the last of your concerns when you get there. Amen. Who ought to really have been the one that sang that special Delta Sunday School class? Whether or not you got a pat on the back, whether or not folks really appreciated you as much as what they ought to, those things won't matter at all when you stand before the Lord in judgment. You won't be looking for God to back you up and to prove your rights. It's going to be about you and God and your life while on earth. It'll be a time of fear and trembling and accountability. You won't stand there proud, haughty, arrogant, and cocky, friend. And listen to me. I don't fear heaven. I don't fear meeting Jesus. I don't fear eternity. But I do fear the judgment. For we'll stand and give an account. And friend, when it's all said and done, there will be no excitability.
Amen.
You'll not be excited about it. Amen. Well, when it's all said and done, there'll be no exceptions. There'll be no excuses. There will be no excitement. Finally, I'm going to close with this morning. When it's all said and done, there will be no extensions. Come April the 15th is a deadline to file your taxes. That's the deadline. But it's not really. Because all you got to do come April the 15th is either file your taxes or file an extension. And if you filed an extension by April the 15th, then it's okay that you've not filed your taxes. But I'm telling you, when it comes to the judgment, there are no extensions. When it comes time that God has it scheduled to bring you before the judgment seat, it's that time. It's that appointment. You will get to this appointment on time, whether you want to or not. You will get to this appointment on time. Some of you ain't never been to nothing on time. You'll get to the judgment on time. Amen. You won't be late for this appointment, friend. You'll be on time for this. Some of you's always to everything early. You won't be to this one early. You'll be right on time. You'll be there when God says so. He'll call you before Him, and when you're called, you will answer. There's no options available in Him. There are no extensions available, friend. And when that which is done, and I'll tell you, when everything has been said and done, it will be done. It will be finished. In the Revelation in chapter 21, He said it is finished. I'm Alpha and Omega. That means it's true. I'm the first. I'm the last. I'm the beginning. I'm the end. Everything else is said and done. By the way, when everything else is said and done, God is just getting started. Amen. Oh, that's exactly right. And when you stand before the Lord, He'll give an account for this life, and there'll be no extensions.
Amen.
Twice we are reminded in this verse of the things that are done. They ought to remind us that what is done is done. When you stand before God, there'll be no fixing anything. That which is done, you see, He said that everyone may receive the things done in this body. According to that, He hath done. That done means accomplished, performed, committed, practiced, busied with, that our deeds that are exercised. There is no going back and getting a second chance. There's no reversing it. There's no changing it. There's no extensions where you can make things right. When it's done, it's done. And the life you're going to answer to God for is the life that you're living right now.
Amen.
Isn't that remarkable? I mentioned this on Friday night. Isn't it remarkable how when people die, they suddenly turn into better persons than what they were while they were alive? Isn't it amazing how that works? We even are taught as children, it's bad to talk bad of the dead. You're not supposed to talk bad of the dead. Some folks, you couldn't say nothing about them if you couldn't talk bad about them. Because then when they're dead, they didn't leave nothing but bad. Amen. That's exactly right. But when you stand before the Lord, you're going to give an account for this life. You're not going to give account for the life you would like to have lived, but you never did. That you intend to live, but you never got to. The prayers you meant to pray, but you never prayed. The things you meant to do, but you never got done. You're not giving account for those things. You're going to be giving account for the things that were done. And the things that you avoided doing. And the life that was actually led. And the things you should have done and did not do. But the thing, if you know to do right and you do it not, it's a sin. You're going to answer for these things. You're not going to answer for the life you hoped to have had. But the one you actually lived, you'll answer for. When you stand before God in judgment, He's not going to do as some have made. Have my friend in Hollywood or written in books. He's not going to say, well, we're going to send you back to earth, give you 30 days to make everything right. We're going to send you back to the angel to see if you can help George Bailey to keep him jumping off a bridge. I'm telling you, there ain't no fixing it. There are no extensions. There are no second chances. There's no way, my friend, to rewrite your life. There which is done is done.
Right. Amen.
Amen. There's no going back to get a second chance to get things right with God. However, soul in hell would give everything they ever had in life to have 5 minutes in an altar to repent and get it right with the Lord. Every soul in hell would. But there's no going back to get things right with God. There's no going back to live a life that's pleasing to Him. To perform, my friend, God's call on your life. To make Him and His work a priority. There's no going back to try to have a godly marriage and a godly home that you avoided in life. There's no returning again to bring up godly kids that you neglected earlier in life. There's no going back to become that godly husband or wife that you should have been. My friend, there's no going back to develop a healthy relationship with your church and your pastor or to win souls of lost family members or co-workers and neighbors and friends in the world. There's no going back to catch up on your baptized and offerings and missions giving and to make up for all the church services you missed or ministry opportunities you let pass you by. There's no going back to improve on your prayer life, your Bible study, your fellowship with Christ, or to explain to God that you were mistreated, hurt, and struggling, tired, or didn't know how. Friend, when it comes to the time that all has been said and done, that which is done is done.
Amen.
And it will be too late to do it over. You don't get any mulligans. There are no do-overs. There are no second chances to come back and live this life again. When it's all said and done, it's done. No extensions. No second chances. No further review. Death will seal what you are. Death will not change you. The life you have lived, it will seal it. It will close the book on your life. And when you stand before God, you won't be something different than what you have been. You'll be exactly what you've been. And while you may stand before the church and appear to be something different than what you actually have been, you may stand in front of the preacher and appear to be something different than what you actually have been. The society, friends, neighbors, family members may even think you're something different than what you actually have been. When you stand before God, your life will be exactly what it has been. No extensions. No challenging the call. No red flags. When it comes time for judgment, you're going to get an instant replay. The call on the field will stand. The official ruling will stand. When it's all said and done, it's done. I'm finished preaching. Come on with a song. I'm going to say, friend, when it's all said and done, if you've been saved, and if you've been faithful, you can hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." He will not say, "Well done," if you have not done well.
Amen.
Or if you're lost, you'll hear Him say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." The shame is that so many, my friend, have come to know the Lord, but they'll stand before Him and hear Him say, "Thou wicked, slothful, and unprofitable servant." And the Bible said they'll be saved, yet so as by the skin of their teeth. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get into heaven by the skin of my teeth.
Amen.
I don't want to stand before God and have to explain all the things that I should have done, ought to have done, could have done, and failed to do. I don't want to stand before the Lord, present every work of my life, Him set fire to it, and it can't withstand the fire of judgment day. Don't want to stand before God and realize I wasted the one life I had to live. I mentioned the other night, my great-grandmother used to watch her stories. We were mentioning this at Christmas time. Made me think about this as I was preparing the message the other night. She'd watch her stories is what she called them. Wicked old soap operas is what they were. She'd watch those things, and you could tell when you went into her house that day whether or not whoever her favorite character was on As the World Turns My Stomach to Puke, whether or not they had a hard day. You could tell. It was manifested in her attitude. It literally would depress her when one of her characters had a hard day. That's the truth. She'd be beside herself wondering how they're going to fix it tomorrow. That's right. One of the stories that she watched, I think it was called One Life to Live. And she spent much of the time of the one life she had to live and wasted watching one life to live. You have but one life to live. And when you stand before the Lord, you're going to answer for what you've done with this one life that you have to live. I don't want to stand before Him and hear Him say, "Thou wicked and unprofitable and slothful servant." The judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The prophet said, "Prepare, prepare to meet thy God." When your life is done, it's exactly that, it's done. What's He going to say to you this morning? Do you need to make some preparations for the judgment? Somebody said, "I'm prepared for heaven." Are you prepared for the judgment? I wonder, are you prepared for the judgment? You need to make some preparations this morning while you have an opportunity? Before it's all said and done, do something about it now while you can. Stand to your feet, please, if you need to come, need to pray. She's singing for us. I wonder this morning if your heart's right with God. Are you saved? Are you living for God? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you satisfied to meet God with the life you're living right now? Because that's the one you're going to meet Him with. You're satisfied that you're where you need to be with God. Sing when you're ready. If you need to pray, would you come? Are you satisfied to go to judgment the way you've been living? May do just fine to live by. Will it do to meet God with? Will it do to die by? When it's all said and done, we're going to give an account for what's been said and done. Amen. How sad! How sad! Neighbors, friends, brothers, sisters, mom, dad. So many of those we care about. When it's all said and done, will you be satisfied with just exactly what has been said and done? There'll be no exceptions. We will give an account. Some are praying and others need to come this morning. Are you prepared for the judgment day? I never knew you. How pitiful. No record of her. Sorry, I never knew. No answer.
be no improving what's been in your life. It will be what it is. When you stand before God, your record will either stand on its own or it'll fall. That's right. And by the way, if in your record it does not show that you've come to know Jesus as your personal Savior, whatever else is on that report won't really even matter. None of the rest of it will even matter. If your record doesn't show the date, the place, and time. Somebody said, I don't remember what day of the week it was. Whether or not it was the 5th of October or the 6th of January or whatever, that's all right. But if you can go back to a place and a time, an experience in your life personally where you came to know the Lord. By the way, you might not remember the date and the place or the date and the time of it all, but the Lord's got that recorded for you. He knows about that. What's important is that the transaction has taken place.
Amen.
If you're not certain about that transaction having taken place in your life, none of the rest of the record will matter. None of the rest of it will even matter. For those that know the Lord, we'll meet Him with the life that we've led. We'll meet Him with the life we've led. I wonder you're satisfied to meet Him just like you are. That's right. Well, have you obeyed the Lord this morning, done everything the Holy Ghost would have you to do in the meeting?